Hey, this is Mark Rackley. Welcome to Techsplaining. This is our introduction to 2018 podcast. We'll be talking about all the things we loved about 2017 and the things we're looking forward to in 2018. I'm here, as always, with my comrades, Brett, Rob, and Stephanie. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Doing all right.
For a Monday, I am doing amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. How are you? I'm doing great. Yeah, this is actually a re-recording of a previous podcast we did for the end of the year that, you know, maybe didn't go as smoothly as we had hoped. So you guys are getting the best of the best with this one.
Yeah, I hope. This is a good redo, I guess, you know, and I mean, hopefully our predictions will be the same. If not, I can go back to tape and edit them in. I think it's good. I mean, it's good because I love these prediction shows and kind of celebrating the end of 2017 and into 2018 and kind of hearing what everybody's excited about and kind of your focuses. I think it's a great show because it opens up a lot of thought for me personally.
Absolutely agree. And it's always good to look back about all the things that changed in 2017 because there was just, you know, a lot happening in the Office 365 space with the avalanche of features and things that it's probably good to stop and take a breath about what exactly happened in 2017.
So Mark, what are the top things on your list that happened?
Wow. So the top things on my list for 2017, you know, I would have to say that if I'm thinking about some of the features that were released or some of the things that really started gaining momentum in 2017 around Office 365, I'm looking more at the modern sites, the modern team sites and communication sites, because I think more than anything that has really forced us to change how we look at doing new work. And we saw both of those gain a lot of momentum in 2017. And the other thing I like to point out is my favorite web part that came out for modern sites, which is their new file viewer web part. I think that is so cool that we now have a web part that'll show, like, you know, 270 different file types. So I think that's really, again, something that we can bring to clients and customers that we couldn't previously that adds a lot of impact.
Are you seeing a lot of people rolling that out? I mean, is it something that people and I guess your customers immediately adopted?
Well, you know, we're seeing them look into it because a lot of our customers are still on Classic, right? So before they can roll those things out, they need to look at what is their modern story and how do we roll this out in modern. And we do have one client that's a production company that makes movies and television shows. And so they have a ton of visual files and Photoshop files and vector graphics. And they really want to be able to display those in SharePoint so people can review them and comment on them and stuff. And so having this new file viewer web part, we now have a reason to bring them from on-prem into Office 365 so that they can take advantage of it. Hmm. What about you, Rob? What's been your biggest takeaway from 2017?
You know what? Probably the biggest thing that happened to my company, and especially around the Office 365 platform, is the release of Teams, right? That's probably Microsoft Teams is one of the biggest products for us that's ever hit that directly influences the way our people work, right? We've had a lot of people experimenting with Slack, and we've had a lot of people experimenting with other tools here and there, HipChat and a lot of these other things. But the integration of Teams into Office 365 and then that releasing in 2017 fundamentally changes a lot of our practitioners' experiences in their day-to-day lives. So I think that's hands down the biggest thing for us, for me, is the release of Teams.
I think I'm pretty excited where Teams is going as well. I think the team have done a great job so far. I think I can definitely see the adoption taking off, but I think the future of it and if it can keep the momentum up, then I think it'll be a fantastic product. The integration of Skype for Business and we now have the external sharing. I think that can be smoothed out a little bit, but
a lot of it.
Is that a new word?
It is now. It's my word.
A lot of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think with the integration of Skype and a lot of the cognitive services they're going to be offering with recording of meetings and automatically translating. So a lot of the stuff we saw at Ignite, right? So when people were on screen talking, it was automatically rendering words that they were saying in real time. And I think a lot of that capabilities are going to make their way into Teams. And then you can then not only record a meeting, but also come away with a transcript from a meeting, which I think is so important to when you're going back and looking through notes, and that transcript becomes searchable. You can say, I know on this call we discussed this, and here's what we discussed, who said it, who said what, and things like that. So I think that's a great thing. One of the things that we ran into last week actually was we're rolling it out now. We've got it deployed to about 50,000 people, which is not all of our organization, but it's a good chunk of it. And some of the way that they roll actual feature updates into Teams is impacting not necessarily the way our people receive updates, but I guess the perception of, hey, I want that capability. It's just not hit me yet. Is they apparently roll it out to every user. Right. So if this example was in a Teams meeting, right, where you can have the conference call kind of thing and the video and all that. There's a capability, something about new screen sharing, a new way to screen share the button, the where it's located or how you click it or whatever, had hit one person's license and they had the latest version and it was working great for them. But then the same person or a different person on the same call was like, hey, I don't see any of that on mine. So they raised a ticket up to us and we reached out to the product team. And they're like, oh yeah, we've only rolled that out to 50% of our user base, but it's coming, you know, into business today. You should have it. And it ended up resolving itself, but it was something different, right? That you don't have on premises where you have these very controlled updates and people receive everything at the same time. Kind of something that we have to look at as a different way to support this stuff, right? Is that we don't control these updates and they're hitting our people at different times. We have to be able to react to that. And I thought that was something that we just found out about and we're just trying to learn and adapt to it.
So Rob, you're saying within the same organization, you have people on differing versions and not even targeted release. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah. It's you know, that they just didn't push, I guess, the updates out to everybody at the same time. They essentially is a rolling list. And, you know, person had a last name of A and the last person had a last name of Z. And you know, they started with the A's and just hadn't made it down to the Z's yet. So, yeah, that was basically, you know, it wasn't exactly that, but it was something like that.
Well, that's a whole new challenge.
Well, that's kind of the other thing that really.
It is.
Right. Well, and that's a new challenge that I think also came out of 2017 is the fact that we do have to think about these things for support if you're in Office 365. I mean, you know, these changes are being pushed out that we don't have control over and they may not go to everybody in your organization and you may not know they're coming. So you've got to stay on top of this sort of stuff or at least expect the calls and be prepared to handle it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we've said that before that, you know, it's difficult to keep up with the changes. But hey, Rob, you're pretty behind. I mean, we've got it rolled out to our entire organization.
Oh, man. I've got to catch up.
So, Stephanie, you made a point about a bit about external sharing and Teams. And, yeah, do you want to talk about that? Maybe explain what you meant by that and maybe how you can help people out who are listening, who are thinking about doing external sharing in Teams?
Yeah. So we ran into an issue where we were trying external sharing with a customer of ours. We thought, you know, this is a great opportunity. We're getting them introduced to Office 365 and we'll help the IT group learn about Teams by inviting them into our Teams. And when we did that, they weren't able to log in. And we discovered that it was because they did not have a Teams license in their organization. Their own organization. And so the whole premise of external sharing has always been, I can share with anyone outside of my organization and they don't have to be licensed. And in this case, we discovered right now, at least you do. And I did some research and found a thread, I believe it was in the tech community, where it looks like maybe there's been some attempts to make that happen. But at this point, the only external sharing support for Teams right now is, in fact, when that external user is also licensed, which is kind of confusing, I think. And I think it's contributing to maybe a somewhat negative experience at first with Teams. We were fortunate to kind of work that out pretty quickly. But I thought that was interesting. We also, in that research, found out, too, and I do think it says this in the documentation right now, that you can only share with an Office 365 user and not a Microsoft account. And, you know, those two things are connected clearly because you have to be licensed. So two little bits of information there on external sharing. Hopefully that'll help somebody out. If you're confused or frustrated on why that's not working, that person does have to be licensed. So.
Yeah. And not just licensed in Office 365, but also licensed with Teams. So you have to have both of those.
Yep. You know, one other thing you guys were that I noticed we hadn't talked about with Teams were the connectors and the bots, because I think that's an interesting piece of Teams that we didn't really touch on. Are you guys using those connectors at all? Any bots or anything kind of custom added back into Teams?
We're moving in that direction very rapidly to do that. And I was just literally on a call that I got off of, and some of our practitioners were asking, hey, you know, what is that? I was showing them the chat features in Teams, and, you know, they were saying, well, hey, what's that T-bot? What is that? And I was explaining it's a helper bot that you can interact with. And they're like, hey, what about, you know, kind of like in Slack, can we do these connectors to where I can have it post news every day at this time or whatever? And so it seems to be a fairly large demand for that. And I do anticipate in 2018, we're definitely going to be integrating bots into Teams, but we will also very likely be integrating these custom connectors to deliver news, whether it's at the end of the workflow of a workflow of something that's happened and completed, posting it into a channel saying, hey, you know, Rob, this task is done. You can go do what you need to do, or delivering news directly or things like that, to where we have more of an automated push of a message that goes into Teams from a connector. I think that's going to be huge for us.
Very cool. So, Brett, what was your biggest takeaway from 2017?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is SharePoint's not dead and Yammer's not dead either. So, I mean, if we think back to the beginning of 2017, not the whole community, but there was quite a few negative messages coming about SharePoint, and, you know, with the introduction of Office 365 groups and the early days of Teams when that was first being launched, there was a lot of questions about, well, is SharePoint still going to be a thing, and so on. And, you know, it's just been great to see SharePoint being exciting again. I think that's the biggest thing for me. Alone, as far as SharePoint is concerned, and the surrounding technologies, is I think fantastic. And like you said, there's been some great new features introduced throughout 2017, such as the modern sites and conditional formatting in lists, and all these other bits and pieces as well. I think that'd be fantastic for the product.
Agreed.
So. And also, it's been a great year for Lightning tools as well. We've seen a technology alliance with another company that's not as well known in the US called Skybo. Skybo is a Swiss company. They have a tool called the Solution Studio, which is actually a product that you can build solutions on top of SharePoint. And what we did find was Skybo had a pretty well-established market in the country surrounding Switzerland. So we're, you know, talking for those of you who don't have a chance to come across to Europe or look at a map or anything like that, we're talking about Germany and Austria and France and places that they're well-established there. Whereas even though Lightning Tools is a UK company, we have actively targeted the US for the last 10 years. So it's great that we're sort of collaborating on that level. So there's a couple of our products that Skybo is actually pushing that they've, you know, labeled as their own, and vice versa. So Lightning Tools has a number of new offerings that we're pushing out into the US as well. So it's been great for that, from that point of view.
Always growing onward and upward. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Stephanie, what about you? What about your 2017? You know, what was big for you?
The one thing that sticks out to me, I feel like it was the year of intranet in a box and the emergence of templates, office templates, things like that. But, you know, the intranet in a box concept really, I don't know, it wasn't terribly popular before. We always had maybe templates available for design and things like that. But this idea that we have this prepackaged kind of set of sites we can deploy, you know, a marketing template, a news and communications template, a department site, you know, all these things that are prepackaged, easy to roll out, that I think is helping us fill the gaps as we kind of transition from classic to modern and not really knowing, you know, how do we keep the continuity between two different types of sites? And these platforms give us a chance to do that. So that's, I think that's a space of interest for 2018 as well, because we really saw them take off last year, but we're seeing a few more kind of pop into the marketplace. We're seeing more options within those products and the templates that we're seeing available. So that's an area that I'm keeping a close eye on. You know, we've got some good partners out there and some good products we've worked with. They all work a little bit differently, and they all kind of have their own features and things that make them different from each other. But, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you seeing that pop up too?
From what I hear, that whole market is exploding. I know a couple of people in the community that have products around the internet in a box, and they're doing extremely well with them. And you go to, dare I mention the word conference, but you go to a conference and every other booth is pretty much an internet in a box company. So definitely it's be a strong market.
Do you know of any conferences that may have something like that?
Yeah, there's one called SharePoint North America, right, in Vegas.
That's true. Yeah. That's coming up in May, so that'll be a great conference. I'll be there.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's one happening in March at some point, isn't there?
SP Fest in DC. Yeah, absolutely. In March. We'll be there.
Yeah, I think there's one in Branson too, right, Mark?
I told you I wouldn't mention it this podcast, so I can't say anything.
Yeah, the North American Collaboration Summit is happening. I think is that's what it's called. Is that what it's called?
I think Stephanie said that if you mention that conference, she's going to break your window.
No, Brad, that's not nice.
For those of y'all that follow Mark on his social media feed, he had a nice time in St. Louis this weekend with a nice robbery.
Yeah, I had my truck parked in a parking lot of a hotel, and somebody decided to smash out my back window and ransack my truck looking for a gun or something. So that's a good time.
They probably just wanted to check to see if your floor mats were clean.
Either that, or I think you should put some Lib Dem stickers on your...
That's it.
Well, I'd call it a bumper, but then they'll just assume that there isn't a gun in there.
So the only thing I'll say is if you really are interested in Internet in a Box and want to know more about that, we do have a nice set of the big sponsors coming to the conference in Branson in March. Well, I'm not going to say the name of the conference, but they will be there. It's a nice intimate conference to talk to those guys and see their wares. So
what about the mobile phone apps as well that have come out for Office 365? Do you guys use those? Rob, is there any sort of deployment going on inside your organization with them?
So we're obviously you've got to download them through the if you I have an iPhone, so you've got to download them through the App Store. We're not pushing them to people because people have different size devices, and you don't know if their device is full or you can. But we're just leaving it up to them. We're encouraging them to go download it. A lot of folks are downloading and connecting through mobile. As you look through the analytics of the tools that are in the admin interface and how people are using it, the device usage. Most people are actually downloading and using the mobile tools. And for us, I mean, it really is before there were tools available to get to things like SharePoint and Teams and OneDrive and all of that. I mean, it really forced, if you wanted to go mobile, you essentially had to go to email and email yourself documents or email yourself whatever, and then just use email throughout the whole collaboration process. And what these mobile apps have done for us is it's enabled us to facilitate removing people from email and getting them to edit the real documents or edit them inside or watch them in the mobile apps or participate in conversations in Teams from the mobile apps without having to have their desktop or copy anything into email or really give them that fluid experience of end-to-end delivery and end-to-end collaboration, right? From desktop to mobile to offline to whatever. It's really been a great experience for us, and our people are loving it.
I could speak to the Teams thing, you know, being pretty instant. I travel a lot. I'm pretty dependent on my email, on my phone. But I have found that I've also become dependent on Teams because I like to know what's going on with our delivery team as I'm traveling, and I get those push notifications. I kind of always wanted that from Skype for Business. And I felt like sometimes they would come through and sometimes they didn't. I had to go looking. But with Teams, it's very consistent with that push notification. So I think that the mobile apps are huge for me just because I'm never at my desk. I'm, very rarely at my desk. So that's helpful. I look forward to us getting into more of the news and communications as well. And the push notifications that come through from the announcements or the blog posts or whatever in the new modern sites. And that's a fairly new feature on the SharePoint app. So I think that, not just for someone like me, but for folks that are out in the field, salespeople, marketing groups are always asking, how do we communicate better to the folks that don't sit at their desk every day? And nobody can resist the notification, that ding when your phone goes off. You know you're looking, right? It's like a twitch. You have to look at it. So I think that could be a game changer for the way that corporate communicates with everybody.
Do you have a special ding for Mark?
I don't give away those secrets, but I'm in. Special phone ring too.
So, Mark, are you a bit of an adopter for that, or no?
Am I a what?
Adopter of the mobile apps.
It's if I was more organized, I would be better adopter of that stuff. I do like the Teams mobile app, probably out of all of them, the best because of the, like Stephanie was saying, the push notifications and the ease of use. Not so much the other apps. I'm not a big fan of typing on my phone. So that does make me not use a lot of the other apps on my phone. I'll use them to consume information, but not to produce information.
Cool. So Stephanie, what do you think is a good prediction for 2018 as far as the Office 365 suite goes?
So one area that I'm watching really closely, it's kind of an offshoot of that intranet in a box conversation, but I'm seeing more templates in general surface. So something that I've been researching and looking at, there is a series of Office templates for Power Apps that's coming out. And it's basically just a way to go in and say, I want this particular template. And it's basically like a mini application. So maybe I want an application that does my onboarding for HR, and I want to onboard a new employee, and there's a form in there, and I want to fill out all the stuff about them and then ship it off to somebody to have them put in the system, right? And so there's these forms now that you could just go out, you select it, you deploy it into your environment, and very quickly, without having to start from scratch or even hardly even know what you're doing, you can have this mini application created in Power Apps. And so we're really taking some of the core functionality and making it available to those that aren't comfortable developing, that are power users, business users, and giving them a way to kind of speed up implementation. Because you can not only just use what's there, but learn from it. They have videos. You can go in and watch how it's built. So you can look at it, dig around, watch the how-to video. So I think that's a big area to watch right now is just the templates that are coming out, the things that are being created that will allow us to speed up implementation and get these things out the door and be really useful. So I think that's a kind of a fun area for me because I'm not a developer and there's stuff that I've always wanted to build, but maybe don't have time or don't have the skill set for, and it makes it very accessible to me. Even having, a bit of a technical background definitely helps, but you don't necessarily need that piece.
Mm-hmm. And so I think you've always been one of the most enthusiastic people around Power Apps that I've known in the community. And I saw your session on it at a conference, the SharePoint Saturday in Nashville. And you seem pretty excited about Power Apps and the direction that it's going. So there was some good announcements around that Ignite. We've seen quite a few improvements, and it seems that it's heading towards the desktop more as well, rather than just being a mobile device app.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see this year what happens with forms in SharePoint as modern gets pushed more and more, mm-hmm. and Power Apps grows in functionality and ease of use, because I don't know if any other forms companies, like the big forms companies, have modern forms web parts. And with Power Apps, do they really need to invest in that? I mean, what are you guys looking at modern for your stuff, Brett, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been working on our products for quite some time now under the SharePoint framework. That's the biggest thing. So the Lightning Adapter, which is pretty well known, is just about there. That's we've got that almost to a point where we can get it out in preview. So yeah, I mean, I think I may have mentioned it before on a show where you know, some of our customers, they've recently moved over to modern, and of course they're looking at you know, a product and going, well, this looks old now. And it really does, you know, when it looks at home on a classic site, but you put it on a modern site and it doesn't look as nice as some of the new web parts that are out. So yeah, that's certainly something that we need to take care of. And but of course, you know, that's not an overnight job. We've been developing under the SharePoint framework since it came out. Since we were on a dev kitchen, and we've got the data viewer out already. We've been working on the Lightning Adapter and deliver point for permissions management. Of course, you know, that's very sort of ribbon driven and everything, and all those ribbons have disappeared in a modern site. So it's a lot of work, but we're doing it and we're enjoying it. It's great to be playing with a different technology.
Good.
For sure.
Good. Yeah, I think we'll see in 2018 those who keep up with modern and those who kind of cling to their old classic stuff and maybe fade away at some point. So it's good to hear you're staying on top of that.
Well, yeah. Also, I mean, the other thing, of course, is we're still at a stage where we've got a lot of SharePoint 2013 customers. They're still a lot of those customers don't have the app infrastructure deployed. They don't have the app catalog and everything else, and they're still using full trust solutions. And full trust solutions are still in demand. We've also had apps in the App Store or add-ins in the App Store for about the last 3 or 4 years, and they've only sort of taken off the last couple of years, I would say. I don't think there's any need to very quickly rush to replace the on-premises deployments yet. But the one thing I am really excited about is not having to maintain two separate builds. Because there's some things that we do in the like in DeliverPoint that you just could not do under the add-in model. I'm looking forward to being a bit more unrestricted and being able to.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, because whenever we were at a conference just this last weekend, and where my truck got smashed into, and someone ransacked it, and anyway,
that's Stephanie, by the way.
That's right. So I did notice in my sessions that a majority of the audience were actually 2013 on-prem or 2010 in my session. So that surprised me.
Yeah, we've just been looking at our numbers, it's fairly fresh in my mind because we go through it quarterly and. At the end of last year, we were like, we've hardly sold any 2016 versions of anything. It's but 2013 is still really, really strong. It's either 2013 or it's SharePoint Online. There's hardly any 2016. So I guess, I mean, that's another thing that I'm really looking forward to is I don't think people had a real reason to move to 2016 if they already had 2013. There was some hybrid improvements, MinRoll, right, and things like that, but there wasn't really a compelling reason. It didn't look different or anything, but I think hopefully 2019 will have a lot more to offer, and we might actually see some on-prem customers maybe deciding to stay on-prem and adopting the 2019 platform. We'll see, it won't matter by that point because we'll have built our products under the SharePoint framework and the gamble was before we have to maintain the full trust solutions, and are they still going to be adopted in 2016 and beyond, or do we have to maintain two builds still? So at least with the SharePoint framework, we don't.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm wondering how many of those 2013 people are maybe on Foundation, and that's why they haven't upgraded, and will wait till they absolutely have to before they do upgrade. Because I know that was a big discussion at the time that Foundation went away with 2016.
Yeah, I think majority of our customers aren't. Most of them are, big shops with enterprise and so on. So, but yeah, certainly there's probably a few that do use SharePoint Foundation. That's for sure.
Yeah. So Rob, you've been quieter for as long as I've known you now at this point. What are you looking forward to in 2018?
2018. Well, you know, as I mentioned before, we've rolled teams pretty heavily at the office and stuff at the you know, fairly large user base. One of the key things, or I guess two of the key things I'm looking forward to is the better tools that are being released around governance and e-discovery around these things. I know that's a hot topic for Stephanie, but the you know, just being able to do things like, hey, we need to apply naming standards to the way you create teams, and we need to apply expiration policies, and you can do that today. It's just not as intuitive to roll that in and to roll that out to the enterprise. As well as the e-discovery tools that are coming with this, is being able to put a legal hold on a team and all the conversations and all of that, and have that wrap up really nicely when you also put a hold on their mailbox, or, you know, being able to really have a cohesive strategy around all of that stuff today. Whereas today you can do it, but you have to do it kind of separately, and it's real kludgy and cumbersome to make that stuff work.
Well, I guess the same thing can be said for Office 365 groups as well, right? So people are naming those with bizarre names and so on. So putting policies around the creation of Office 365 groups is certainly a well-recommended thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and doing things like making it a lot easier to just hide the email address of the group that gets created, right? Because right now, if you create a team, it creates a group, which also creates an email address to that group. And if you email that group and you only use Teams, you never see anything with that email. It just goes into the group, and that's it. You know, so from the user's perspective, it just goes into a black hole, and they never receive a response or know anything, and they can't find it where it went to, and all of that. So being able, and I don't know if they're going to clean that up, you know, all of that, because that's a big kind of a lot of moving parts there, but things like that, right? I'm hoping 2018 brings some clarity to some of those features like that.
We're seeing some delays too. So I kind of set the team out when the new PowerShell commands came out to put some restrictions on the naming around Teams. And I said, go, you know, I want to blog on this, go use it and, you know, give me feedback on it. And they said, oh, you know, we ran it, but it didn't work. And I was like, oh, you know what? I bet there's a delay, because I remembered seeing some forums and such where people were talking about it. And so some of that adjustment too, you have to expect, you know, the policy may not apply right away. There may be a delay as you're waiting for it to happen. And so some education around that, and maybe advertising to let people know, if just because you put a policy in place doesn't mean it's there right away, which could potentially be a big deal if that's, you know, impacts the timing of the release of your site. Or if, you know, in general, if you just think you haven't applied or that you did apply something and it's not there. And so I think they've got some things to, I don't know if they can fix that. You know, you're talking about tenants, and we know how the timer job thing has always gone. Mark, you always ran into that with search, right? I don't think that ever got any better, has it, with the timing of updating like managed properties and stuff? Maybe that's just something we have to live with.
Yeah, intermittently it's good, intermittently it's bad. So I don't think, you know, I liken the doing the search in requesting a search of your documents and sites in Office 365 to hitting a button on the elevator. It doesn't really do anything when you hit the closed door button, but it makes you feel better doing it.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've got some good predictions and things to be thankful for from 2017 as we roll into 2018. So if anybody listening would like to reach out to us and contact us, please shoot us an email at info@techsplaining.net. And we'd be happy to hear from you, answer any questions you have. Maybe your questions might make it into a show. So, Stephanie, Mark, and Brett, thanks a lot for making time today. And I will talk to you guys soon.